Amen. 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 turned it loose and walked away. But he spoke to me.
He
spoke to me. He told me. He told me. That I am his own. Much as I just want to praise the Lord.
Yes.
I just want to praise
the
Lord.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Praise him.
You've been so good.
Praise God, God. Yes.
Pastor Conley, Sister Conley, all of you reaching the name of the Lord. Every time I hear that song, I just think about how blessed I am.
Yes.
Come the 3rd of February, it will be 7 years with this new heart.
Yeah.
I'm just so thankful. Because somebody died so I would have life. And when I think about that, I think about the Lord, because he died so that I may have eternal life.
Amen.
So it says in my soul, all across my heart, he's good. He's so good.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
I want to, since I already got carried away, I'm going to do that now.
Amen. Amen.
I want you, if you would, turn with me to Ephesians. Ephesians comes after Galatians, right before Philippians, 8501 on my Bible. And I want us to begin at the beginning. As I said, the Lord's been working with me, and for this year, I'm going to be working through the book of Ephesians, verse by verse. And when I have an opportunity to come before you, I'm going to share with you what I have learned. So we're going to begin at the beginning, and I'm reading from the New King James Bible, the big Bible that's here in the pulpit. And when you're ready, it's to your page. Thus says the Lord, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places and in Christ. We're going to stop right there, because that's a mouthful in itself. And the next time we come together, we'll get more in detail of what those blessings are. But I wanted to preface this, and you can be seated. By we are truly, truly blessed. Now, I need to make sure that you understand. So I personalize it, and I want you to personalize it by repeating after me. I am truly,
truly
blessed.
Blessed.
One more time.
I am truly blessed.
Hallelujah.
One more time for the Holy Ghost.
I am truly blessed.
Amen.
Amen.
And by, I pray that by the time we leave today, you will understand just how truly blessed we are.
Amen.
But as I begin, Pastor did some of my sermon, but I want to give a shout out. Happy birthday to all those birthdays in January.
Amen.
Sister Harvey, Sister Phillips,
Amen.
Brother Wright. And to Martin Luther King.
Hallelujah.
Organizations across the nation are celebrating his efforts and his work.
Yes, yes, yes.
And while we call this a national holiday, we have to realize that not every state celebrates his birthday. They may revisit his marches, replay his speeches, and review his life, but they do not celebrate his birthday as a national holiday.
All right, sir.
1929. Most of us don't have an inkling of what was going on back in 1929. I've been blessed because I have a lady in my midst that was born in 1929. And so I have a chance to speak with her and find out personally, firsthand, the things that she went through during that era. Martin Luther King, he was a preacher, a man that loved his congregation, and he was concerned about his community. And it brings questions to mind as the role of the church in today's environment. Because we seem to be more caught up in the four walls than we are with what's going on in the streets. And as I look closer at Martin Luther King, that I see where God led him along his path. The concern he had, the compassion he had for his people, the love, and also the activism. But what that tells me is that he understood what Christ had done for him. He understood the position that Christ had placed him. And he was not afraid to step out there and do the work of the Lord. Even though he would have rather done something else, he knew the calling that was placed on his life.
That's right.
I can't imagine the situations that they had to contend with back during that time.
That's right.
I can't imagine not being able to walk into a restaurant, sit down at the counter, order a meal, and then eat it right there. I can't imagine having to go to the restroom and then making sure I went in the right one. Not men nor women, but black or white. I can't imagine being on the bus after a long day's work and being told to give up my seat. I just can't fathom having to do that. I can't imagine that when it come time to send my children to school, that I had to seek out a black school because they were not good enough to go to the white school. I just can't imagine. But I also have a hard time with the fact that our parents and even our grandparents and great-grandparents were only allowed to have a third or fourth or fifth grade education. Well, we've come a long way. 86 years would have been the celebration of his birth. 47 years since his assassination, but we've come a long way, but we still have a ways to go.
That's right.
Yes. Right.
We still have injustices to fight against.
Amen.
They may not be as overt as they were during his time, but they still exist.
That's right.
We find them under the cover of equality in their eyes, but they are blatant violations in our eyes. The disguises and the masks under the pretext of freedom do not eliminate the struggle. If we just peel back the sheet, if we just uncover the issues and get real with ourselves, we'll find that the problems that we have today are really no different. While we don't have bathrooms that says black or white, when we do walk into a public place, we are looked upon differently. When we go to clothing stores, they follow us around. When we look at crime in their area is supposedly different from our area. We are led to believe that we're the only ones that rape, will pill, and plunder. We are the only ones that can't be trusted. But if we are in the workplace today, we have to be careful of that other fella sitting over there. Because he just might get up with a gun and start shooting everybody in sight. But we are the ones. Unemployment rates in our community are double digits. But in our arena, they have money to spend, money to burn. Crime and violence is out of control. But we have a fear of not only them, but we have a fear of us. And we need to overcome that fear. Because that fear is paralyzing us. In our own community, we are afraid of retaliation. And we let the other folks just do whatever they want. Our voting numbers are down. Our educational costs are out of our reach. And in their day, everybody, while our parents had a limited education, they made sure that their kids went to college. Our academic levels, the student loans, and all of those things that are holding us back. We still need to overcome. It may seem like a no-win situation, but we do have the power to overcome. We can no longer let poverty hold us hostage. We can no longer rely on government handouts. We are able, more than capable, of doing for ourselves. We have a mind, and we have a Savior. We can't let foreclosures and home abandonment become the norm. We can't even let police violence against us keep us from going and leaving our homes during the day or during the night. The health care is there before us. We can't let it leave our breath. We can't let the popular opinion of our white counterparts that we are inferior keep us from achieving that what this world has called. Even though they deny us service at some places, even though we are challenged when we go in to spend our hard-earned money, we can't let that get in our way. So as we celebrate the birthday of Martin Luther King, we should be doing some serious contemplation as to how we're going to move forward from this point, both individually and collectively.
All right.
In spite of all of this that we know, that we see, and that we experience, some of us will still claim that we are too blessed to be distressed. Some of us will profess that we are blessed by the best. And that we are blessed and highly favored.
Yes, sir.
Yet, all these situations, all these circumstances continue to plague us. Do we truly know what blessed by the best really means?
All right, help us.
When we look around, we find all this flaunting, all this arrogance.
Yeah.
I am, and I have, and I can do. And then others are spending every waking moment chasing after these so-called. Well, I just want to tell somebody that there are two kinds of blessings. There are the earthly blessings, which are material. But then there are the spiritual blessings that are eternal.
Yes.
And I don't know about you, but I'm more inclined to chase after the spiritual blessings.
Yes.
Yeah. And I've encountered some folks that have obtained these material blessings, these earthly blessings. And I've seen how the attitude that they have that says, I have mine that you better get yours.
Yeah.
I have seen how they cherish the cars and the houses. My job is better than yours. I have help where you're sickly and afflicted. I have seen how we've let my spouse is better than your spouse get in our way. We tell the world to see my blessings by looking at our material collections. And we're quick to think that those in the body who have difficulty acquiring those earthly blessings aren't blessed at all. We are made to think and feel that because I lost my job,
yes, sir,
the Lord doesn't love me.
Right.
We have been made to feel that because I have cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or any other illness, the Lord doesn't love me as much as he loves them.
Yeah.
Well, I submit that when we think about blessings, that we must remind ourselves that the blessings that we should be concerned about are not materialist.
All right.
We should look for a deeper connection that is coming from those blessings. I believe that Ephesians 1:3, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, gives us the meaning of true blessings because they come from the work of the Trinity.
Yes, sir.
They start with the Father, they flow through the Son, and then sealed by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
When we embrace the works of God the Father, when we embrace the works of God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, when we do this, we will see a change in our lives in a way that is unbelievable, it's supernatural. It will release us from fear.
Yeah.
It will free us from worry.
Yeah.
It will alleviate all doubts that God is on our side. Then, and only then, can we become the men and women that God has called us to be.
Yeah.
Then and only then will we become disciples.
Yeah.
And then we can go to work making disciples of other folks. Then we will have a new meaning to love the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then and only then will we be able to truly love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Our scripture talks about blessings and spiritual blessings. And as we go further in the text, we'll discover that its definition is not the same as those earthly blessings that we hold so dear and love so much that are all so popular within our community. We look at Paul's beginning, his salutation, where he points out who he is.
Yes, sir.
And if you know anything about Paul's letters, he always starts there.
Yeah.
Not only who he is, but how it came about.
Yeah.
And who the letter is intended for.
Yeah.
He immediately thanks God for all that he's done.
Yeah.
And his opening is essential to each of us because it is indirectly letting us know that none of this would be possible.
Yeah.
Except by the will of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Let's get personal. You, the saints, and the faithful need to understand this. Because you're only the saint. You're only the faithful by the will of God.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing you did got you here.
Right.
Ain't nothing you have
solidified
you a place in the kingdom.
Amen.
Right? No matter how well you talk, or what language you're able to learn. Now you ain't nothing but a tingling something. No matter how much prophecy, without the love of God,
all right,
you're nothing.
Amen.
And so he focuses it on the saints and the faithful.
Mm-hmm.
And in other words, he said, this message ain't for anybody.
Uh-huh.
This ain't for everybody.
Uh-huh.
So if you're not in the family, and you don't understand where I'm coming from, that's all right.
All right.
Because it ain't for you.
All right.
It ain't for you. It's not for the curious. It's not for those that are convinced that it's true, but just ain't gonna follow.
Yeah.
No, it's for us who have been called out of the world, who have been set apart, and who now belong to the Father.
Yes, Lord.
And so if you don't want to be a part of that group, it's all right. If you don't want God to bless you with spiritual blessings,
yes,
it's all right. I ain't mad at you. Because I know one day we're going to stand before the Lord.
Yes.
And he said, those who are mine, move to the right.
Yeah.
And those that were uncertain, who were ashamed of the Lord, who didn't want to make a commitment, move to the left. And you may have done some good works. You may have taught Sunday school. You may have worked with the homeless. You may have went and visited the incarcerated. You may have cared for the sick, but he's going to say, I don't know.
All right.
Depart from me.
Yeah.
And so I get glad that I know I'm on the right.
Yeah.
I want to be on the left. I don't know about y'all, but I want to be on the right.
Yeah.
And that in itself is a blessing. As pastor, and I bring you the word, we do so with understanding that the only thing special about us is that we are only here by the will of God.
That's right.
He'll tell you, I'll tell you, and I don't know a preacher that won't tell you that if I could do something else, if it could be somewhere else, where else. But it's the Lord that has called me. That is the Lord that gives me this drive and puts this burden in me. That even when I'm sick, I want to be in the house of the Lord.
Yes, sir. All right.
And even though I don't have the strength to do the things the Lord has called me to do, and when I want to throw in the white towel, it is the Lord that keeps me going.
Yes, sir.
It helps me get up out of bed. Get up out of my seat.
Yes, yes.
And want to tell the world
Go ahead.
About all that.
Yes.
understanding gets greater. Every day my love grows stronger and stronger. I just thank the Lord. But Paul goes on, and he goes into this third verse, thanking the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for blessing us. Because he knows that it all starts at the Father.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That had the Father not allowed it, had the Father not decreed it, none of this would take place.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
So he begins with the Father. Mm-hmm. God, blessed be the God.
Uh-huh.
God. And the term blessing simply means to speak well of. Okay? It means to speak well of that person. Or that situation. We get the term eulogy from the Greek word that's translated blessing. And so we all know that eulogy is an opportunity to speak well for the dead as they passed on. And so Paul here is speaking well of God the Father. Letting him know that he understands how important the God is in his life. But then he goes on to say, not only bless be the God, but he says, for blessing us with spiritual blessings. Not just any blessing, okay, but spiritual blessings from the heavens. And he closes it by saying, in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
So we get the picture that the blessings come from God. And they come from heaven, where God is. But they are contained in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
And so when we think about our material stuff, those things are not contained in Christ Jesus. Because I know my Lord would not bless me with a new car. And as soon as I drive it off the lot, the value has gone down $3,000. Y'all see the commercial. The insurance commercial says if you spend $40,000 for a new car before you have a oil change, it's rammed sideways and towed. And when they come to you with a settlement, they come to you with 37. You don't have enough to pay off the loan. Let alone replace the car that you lost. My God don't work that way. My God don't work that way. He blesses our soul. He has made a way for us to be made whole. And to cross over that threshold into eternity, knowing where we're going to be, who we're going to be with. All right? And so we should not have any fear. But so he says, blessed be the God who has blessed us.
Yes.
And we know that blessing is to speak well. So Paul is speaking well of God, who is the Father of our Lord and Savior.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If we break out the Trinity, we have the Father. Mm-hmm. We have God the Son. We have God the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And that these blessings are come from the heavens.
Yes.
So it's important that we are sure when we say, I am blessed. Lord, 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 you're a blessing to me. Heavenly places lets us know that our blessings are not earthly. They are not man-centered. But these blessings were decided before the foundation of the world. They were foundation before you and I were formed in our mother's womb.
All right.
The first blessing that he goes on in that chapter, and later we'll spell out more detail, is election. because of the fact that he knew us before the foundation of the world, because of the fact that we had an intimate relationship with him before we came into this world.
That's right.
That helps us to understand how special we are.
Yes.
Election refers to the fact that he chose us.
Yeah.
Yeah. He chose us. We didn't choose him. Okay? We were walking around looking for him.
All right.
So we can't say